these are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question for my guest today, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with that, it is a Monday, somewhat overcast, at a beautiful weekend. In the studio with me, I have John Ringstead. He sits on the Fairbanks City Council. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. Doing well for Monday morning. Getting started on our week. Going to be a busy week in Fairbanks.
Summertime. You know, the summers, we pack everything in the summer.
We should try.
You know, we do 8 months of work in 3.5 months.
Yeah, whether it's 8 months of work on our road projects like out on Fifth Avenue right out here, or whether it's all the outside camping and playing and fishing and doing whatever else we're trying to do, we try to get all that in 3 months too. So
how was that conversation with Perry that I didn't see when I walked in? He
good. I hadn't talked to Perry in years and years. So he was sitting there looking at all the dirt work being done outside his front door. So. He's probably frustrated like a lot of the rest of us, you know.
He's sort of happy because it's finally happening.
Finally happening. Well, he was saying it's been like 8 years in the works trying to get this project done. And that's, I think, one of everybody's frustrations. It takes so long to get anything done. And now he's finally there, you know, and he's got the problem with can't get in his front door. I noticed I had to find the back door to get up here today. But, he's glad it's finally being done. But it's like, how could it take this long and cost this much?
I know. And, you know, in a meeting this morning, I was told that the person who's knocked down the Polaris Building annex, he started on the backfill portion.
Good.
So little by little.
Little by little.
And one day we're going to be walking down Fifth Avenue saying, this is a brand new street.
It seems like forever to get it done, but one day we're going to get there. And you've made great headway on the Polaris Building. It's actually starting to happen after several years of hard work and begging and pleading and asking for help.
I cracked the code.
Yeah. So that's progress. I think it's one of those things. I think everybody's realized something's got to happen here, and so
also
we're finally getting close.
You take a look at the downtown this summer. The park, and that's really been cleaned up so far.
That's a big help. You know, we've known that had to happen. It was kind of almost a scary thought. One of our meetings a while back, the police chief was telling us that it's not only not pleasant to see, but there was getting to be a lot of violent activity down there, fights, stabbings, with stuff we don't want in our downtown. And we got to get in, clean it up. And, you know, I think you and your chief of staff have done a good job. Get down there in the morning and walk around yourself, you know. And now we've got a cop down there working down there and wandering around. And I think that's helping the visibility and just kind of say, no, this is not acceptable behavior in our downtown, anywhere in our town.
It was funny. It was last Saturday. Me and my dog were doing our morning 6:30 walk, and we're coming back, you know, going over quiet, everything is peaceful. We're coming back over the Centennial Bridge there, and there's a person just in at the water fountain standing up yelling 6:30 a.m.
boy.
And all of a sudden I heard this voice go, and I'm just to say the name, like, Martin, shut up. or they're going to take you to the fourth floor of the hospital. And I was like, bam, it was silent. Yeah. So I thought to myself, wow.
I guess there's some
self-policing going on here.
That's what I was just thinking, yeah.
But I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's the kind of thing, you know. A lot of Fairbanks has changed since you and I were kids here, and some of those aren't for the better, and we've got to deal with those issues.
Yeah.
And I think we're making headway with the downtown area. We start cleaning up some, and we start saying, okay, that kind of behavior is not acceptable, and get some of that away, gone, and the violent activity that's making people not comfortable to come downtown.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get rid of a bunch of that and move some of those things along and see if there's a solution for those. And I think that likewise it's going to take a while yet to get the old Polaris building down and get that block cleaned up and functional. But, you know, I'm pretty supportive of where you've been going and saying we got some of these old properties that need to be cleaned up and put back into use.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've made a push on that. I know that we've got a couple of lists on those of within the city limits. I think you started out with a list of 15, and by the time a couple of our colleagues on the council started talking, the list is now at 50. And
about 70.
70.
But after Public Works put their two cents in.
But, yeah. But it's the right move.
Yeah.
We need to clean it up and look like we care about our town, and we want it looking good. We want properties being used so they're not just sitting there for the people that are going to cause trouble.
Yeah, you know, you have a vacant property that it gathers items that aren't good. And so what we're doing right now is, you know, I have a new executive assistant now. So I gave her the list. And she's to contact Golden Utilities to see if these properties have sewer hooked up. If they don't have sewer so hooked up, it's condemnation.
Right.
So she gives them a call. And the person who can give her that information is gone for a week on vacation. Oh. Of course, it's summer. It's Fairbanks. You know, what the heck?
But we're getting started, and I you got to start or you don't get there. And I think you and some of the others have done a good job of getting that and say, okay, we're going to deal with this issue. We're just not going to ignore it any longer. And you know, it doesn't happen quickly. We just pick them off one at a time.
It didn't get this way quickly.
Right.
Yeah,
so you know, we're going to get a few of the buildings down, and we're going to get a few of the old properties gone, and we're going to get a few of the streets fixed up. And you know, I think back on down here between 1st and 2nd, you know, which some of us remember as the bar block. It took a long time to get that down and get all those old buildings out of there, and then it took us longer than people thought it was going to be to get a good new hotel in there and some other business going on in there, and now it's kind of what you want. You know, it did work. It just took work and time.
Yeah.
So,
and again, you know, that the Polaris building is 70 years old, we'll call it. It's been vacant for 22 years, and I would say within 2 weeks, in fact, I know within 2 weeks, you will be voting on the contract for the low bidder, or the winning bid, rather, on that. And then 2 weeks and 1 day from today, I'll be signing the notice to proceed.
Good.
And so this little by little, it's lining up finally.
Yep.
It's lining up.
Yep. So. And that's a good thing.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break again. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox, down at the Valdez Fish Cleaning Tables. Pat Olson, fish cutter down here. And you're a good source for what's coming in and across the table. So pink salmon, how's it looking? You said you filleted a few.
Yes, they're outside at Sawmill and Jack's Bay, slowly coming in. I've done 52 this week, and then I did 12 silvers.
Have you got any word of what's working well?
No, I haven't. I just been doing the fish.
Oops. And then silver-wise, where are they picking those up? A little further out?
Yeah, they're getting them out there in the ocean. They're at Wessels Reef. They're getting them by accident, I hear.
And any word on the sizes of the fish? I know like 3.5 pounds, that was about, I'm generalizing, what the Solomon Gold Chattery is the average return. Are you seeing those sizes?
Yes, 3.5, 4 pounds, maybe 5 pounds, biggest silver, 10 pounds.
All right, when do you expect? I think Kids Derby should have a pretty good run and a lot of availability here in the port, you think?
I think so. Once it does rain, we've got some really nice weather last couple of days, so once it rains and the pinks, like I said, are around the corner, they should be brought in. I went out to the creeks there in Old Town and around Round Loop Road and everything, and I didn't see any fish in the creeks at all, so they're not here yet.
Be sure to stop into the Valdez Prospector's new location on Egan Drive, right across from the museum, for everything you need for fishing in Prince William Sound. Licenses, bait, derby tickets, and the best selection of lures and tackle to help you catch the derby winner. Stop into the Valdez Prospector on Egan Drive for everything for your fishing adventures.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 71 today under mainly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 55 tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. Chance for isolated rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 74, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have John Ringstead, member of the Fairbanks City Council, in the studio with me. Tomorrow, I will have the Laundry House Gang, and on Wednesday, I will have... What do I have on Wednesday? Oh, that's right. I have Nick Nugent, and that's going to be fun. That's always fun with Nick, our historian. So it's a good week. It's a good week. Ready for a phone call?
Sure, let's go for it.
Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, my name is Mike.
Hello, Mike, how are you today?
I'm okay. So in light of your discussion on improper behavior and various things that have happened around the country, I wanted to know if the city of Fairbanks has laws on indecent exposure and public nudity, and if your administration will be enforcing those laws. And I'll hang up and listen to you on the radio.
Yeah, this is John. I know we used to have them. I assume we still do. I have not heard anything about that in quite a while. I mean, years and years.
Well, first of all, you know, public nudity... It takes a complaint to have the police go out there, and once that complaint comes in, you can send out the police to it. Then they follow the law. If what they're going to do is what they're going to do. Now, once a person is arrested, that's on the state side, on what they want to do. And you know, public nudity is probably a misdemeanor.
And one of the issues we're dealing with on the council level right now is. We're shorthanded on our police force. So I think there is an element of you prioritize your time. And, you know, I would guess that some of our police probably says, you know, I got somebody over here that's been stabbed and I got somebody over there that's standing there naked. Well, he's going to go to the stabbed person first. And I think that it wouldn't surprise me if that has happened. I have not heard that we've had any nudity complaints.
If you have a repeat offender, you got to take care of it.
Yeah,
simple
yeah.
as that.
Yeah.
I had a phone call from a person I know, from a family household that's well-known, along the Chena River. And the whole family there is on a Sunday night's having dinner. And this is about two Sundays ago. And on the other side of the river, you know, near the park strip there, a man and a female just decided to come down and go skinny dipping.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you know, and while they're having dinner, I said, "Oh, there's you know." So he called me up not to complain, this was more like to laugh, You wouldn't believe this one, David.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, you know, did you call police? Oh, no, we were there watching for the entertainment value. Okay, you know.
Right.
And, you know, they weren't doing any other thing of
did
sexual acts. Yeah. And, you know, one gentleman, he was my age, about 60, and the other, a female, she was about in her 40s, upon his estimates, you know, so.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a weird kind of thought process, but I think in the bigger picture, and now that we have more of a police attention on the downtown area, hopefully that just the presence of the police being there will help discourage some of those kind of things that you don't necessarily want them. We do have them. They do happen, but they're probably not going to happen in front of a cop.
Yeah.
They might happen in front of the mayor, his chief of staff, as they walk around down there, but they'll stop and talk to him and say, hey, you know, come on, move on.
And then,
but we got to start saying, yeah, we care about these things, and we're gonna try and make a more comfortable downtown to be in.
Yeah, and you know, this every Thursday, at basically between 12 and 1, I walk the downtown now with Officer Elsie, the police officer, and so he gives me insights of he's been doing this now since we brought him back for 25 years, and he tells me when I first started, the same person was here doing this stuff, so he knows him very well. He's very respected. He treats him very well. He does not put up with any alcohol whatsoever. Zero alcohol. Alcohol poured out, you're banned, get out of here, and everyone knows it. So he's set a standard.
And that's what we have to do, is we have to set a standard for the people and let them know it.
Yeah, and they know it, and it's a lot better. But, you know, you got to keep up on it. Simple as that.
Yeah. One step at a time. We've made a couple of steps on that front in trying to address that. So having that officer there is going to make a difference, I think.
Yeah, and on the police officer side, you know, we're aggressive in trying to get more police officers. You know, with the lateral hire, a big thing. We're getting phone calls on that now because we stepped it up. It's only an amount through 12/31/24. 60,000 on a lateral hire, the way it was designed, the way you guys voted it in. Two-step process, 5 years, but you get half up front, and if you make it to the beginning of the third, you get the other half, but it's prorated. If you leave, you're paying some back.
And you know, I don't know how much the public has been following this, but we have been shorthanded. Our number of members on the force has been declining. Actually, we've had them budgeted positions, and we're still not breaking even. So we have taken this new, more aggressive approach, saying we need to get our police force staffed up. We need to get people here, and we want to keep them here. We want to get some senior people that are like you say, the one that has come back, and they know people, they know the area, they know what the issues, you know, and. Anybody walking in the door as a rookie doesn't know that, but over time they will learn, and if we can keep them here, then that kind of grows on itself to a solution to our problems. But I think that we're making headway in doing that, and hopefully we can get, within a reasonable period of time here, get our police force staff back up to where they need to be, and we can have a better presence and have them doing, not have to. I mean, the sad truth is that these guys are—they're working way too many hours and they're burning out. They need to have a life too.
Yeah,
that's why we're here. You want to live here.
You know, it's interesting how you bring that up. I'm going through interviews with everyone in the force, and like today, two interviews so far, today already, and the first interview came from, you know, female officer, lateral hire, and she's very surprised about how much more professional we are from where she came from, a larger town, how she has direct access to the chief, the mayor. She would never, you know, how much more training they have, how much more of the background check on her. You know, she goes, this background check on me was much more in depth than my original one. But what we're doing is we're getting trained officers for the most part. Then they go through local training. Then the officer from Phoenix. he came over, and he had spent about 4 years in Phoenix, and he called them dog years. I go, dog years? He goes, yeah. Every year was like 7 years. And he goes, so there's not as much activity for him, but there's more activity for the first lady, for right. The first one, so it's interesting. And then I had another interview, and he had spent 20 years and then moved up here, 20 years of experience, and he moved mm-hmm. up here.
Really? Good.
And he says, guess what? I enjoy it. I love it. But my lifestyle is different now. You force overtime on me, and I'm going to go to places that won't force overtime because it's my family time now. And he goes, I don't get, I 20 years of hiring and doing this in the politics, I'm out of that. Leave me alone. Let me be a police officer, and don't put forced overtime on me, and I'll be here.
And that's one of the problems that as a city we have realized that has hit some of our all three of our public safety agencies.
Yeah.
That we clearly are having our people, because they're all shorthanded. They're working way too many hours. 20 some consecutive 12-hour shifts, and they're doing a yeoman's duty over there. And
yes, they are.
We cannot keep asking them to do that.
Yeah.
They need to be able to go home and get a day off, and they need to be able to be with their family. So hopefully this new approach that we're kind of getting the last pieces together right now is going to make a big difference. I'm glad to hear that you're getting calls and doing interviews, and we've gotten some of the attention of people that might come and be good members of our community and our police force.
Yeah.
That's progress.
And what got me was, I guess, the realization that we're getting experienced people coming in. Yeah, they need to be trained up for our local scene, but they're experienced people coming in.
One of the things that we don't think about it, but when you come in with somebody totally new to police work, it's better part of 9 months to a year to where they're really up to speed and ready to go on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So that training program is long, and quite frankly, from an employer point of view, like the city is, it's expensive.
You're making an investment.
You're making a big investment in a lot of training. If we get experienced people that have had years elsewhere, that training gets probably cut in half or better. And you get them up to speed quicker, and we don't have to spend the money and the time on training. So we're making headway there, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're interviewing all those and you're involved in those.
Yeah, and so what I did is I said, okay, Chief of Staff, you're going to start from the top down. I'm going to start from the bottom up. So he knocks all of his out in like 2 days. Like, what? Do you remember anything?
Yeah,
I can spend about 10 days to 2 weeks, I'm doing three today, and, I've got, every morning this week, 7 o'clock, every morning, 7 a.m., I'm in my office, interviewing someone.
Interviewing.
And it's funnier than heck. And so the one who comes in this morning, she apologizes for being 1 minute late because they know my punctuality, but she had to do something for the shift commander. I'm looking at her and going, you guys are trained up right, man. You're 1 minute late, and you're already apologizing, but you did it because you're helping your comrade. That's great.
Works.
Yeah, so it's an enjoyable way to start the morning when you're talking with a person, and they're giving me an education and highlights. They really are. I learn something from every person.
Well, and that's important, I think, as we go forward, trying to manage our public safety issues. Because we're shorthanded, we need to understand what's really going on in the day-to-day business. And it's hard sitting back when if you don't talk to the people that are doing the work, you really don't have a good handle. A number of years ago, I worked for a guy that he enjoyed. He worked in the field end of the business for a long time, and when he got to be the CEO, he people took him a while to learn, but he was going to show up out there driving a fuel truck one day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there he was.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where he learned what was going on in the business. And that's it's good that, you know, we're finding out what's going on in the world behind the scenes so we know how to address the problems.
At the end of every interview, I go, okay, I got good news for you and bad news for you. And they look at me like, okay, what's going on? I say, the good news for you is our interview's over. The bad news is I'm going to be interviewing you again 6 months. And I say, the real bad news, I'm going to be interviewing you 6 months after that. Every 6 months, we're going to be having a talk. That way, I'm keeping up on what's going on over there. I'm not saying what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, but
at least we know.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and some weather.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
King Charles holding a summit with President Biden and corporate leaders talking about climate change. U.S. climate change envoy John Kerry says corporate money is needed to make the move into a green economy.
They are making decisions every single day about how to accelerate this transition.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, he's a presidential candidate. He has some thoughts about President Biden's economic and energy policies. We interviewed him on the Fox News channel.
The policies that he's had on the economy and on energy and on national security, that, you know, they're affecting every single American. And Americans know this because they see it with the price that they're paying for gas at the pump. They see it on their electrical bill. They see it on their heating bill.
Governor Burgum not doing great in the polls so far. The last Fox News poll last month had him in less than 1% among GOP primary voters. President Biden, by the way, now in Lithuania for a NATO summit. So we'll continue to track the progress there as America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks City Council has a light agenda for its regular meeting tonight, including only two ordinances to advance to public hearings later this month. Both ordinances address contracts or pay increases, including a proposed hourly increase for the city's sworn police officers. The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports Ordinance 6255, sponsored by Fairbanks Mayor David Pruse, proposes increasing Fairbanks police officers' hourly wage by $4 an hour in an effort to address the Fairbanks Police Department's efforts to recruit and retain officers. The wage increase reflects a lower amount than originally proposed in May. Crews and police department leaders had originally discussed an $8 an hour increase as a way to be competitive and an attractive place to work. The second ordinance involves ratification of a new contract with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 1547. The three-year contract would run from January 1st of 2024 through December 31st of 2026 and applies to the city's engineers, public works director, and building officials. The council meets tonight at 6:30 p.m. at Fairbanks City Hall at 800 Cushman Street.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
There's a time and a place for something delicious and a bit healthier. The time is lunch, and the place is Brewster's. They have beautiful salads such as the blackened chicken salad, the grilled salmon salad, and the apple walnut salad. But Brewster's knows you also want a burger sometimes, and that's why they have a salmon burger and the Brewster's Garden Burger. Now you know the time and the place. Lunchtime at Brewster's.
Great food, great Alaskan spirits. That's Brewster's.
There's also a time for one of Brewster's famous shakes with Oreo crumbles. And that time is now.
Living in interior Alaska, you know the meaning of a cold winter. So does Toyotomi Heaters, available at the Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior homes for years with quietly reliable, efficient heating products. Heating everything from small cabins to multi-room homes, they have water heating and hydronic options as well. See the Toyotomi oil heater that's right for you at the Woodway's showroom today. As always, the Woodway has factory-trained technicians to serve you, heating your home the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Help! My computer's acting up and I don't know what to do.
Don't worry. McGraw IT Services to the rescue. We're certified experts who can handle any computer challenge.
Oh, thank goodness. I need virus removal, data recovery, QuickBooks fixed, network fixed, hardware upgrades. You can fix all that?
Absolutely. We offer fast, friendly, and cost-effective solutions. On-site or remote assistance.
It's getting worse!
Don't panic. McGraw IT will save the day.
What about the cost?
We're competitively priced. Get 10% off your first service.
Thank you. You're my hero.
McGraw IT Services. Making computers work for you.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. John Ringstead in the studio with me. Seat
F.
F. That was my old seat.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
change.
I know. You're a chip off the old block.
Well, if you want to be an old block, that's okay.
I know. Or a blockhead.
Yeah, right.
I can go in either way.
Well.
Are you enjoying yourself on it?
Yeah, it's learning local government is... I've enjoyed it. Some of it's frustrating. Some of it's just a learning exercise. I've been pleased. We've got a good group on the council that works together. We don't always agree, but we work together and we find solutions.
Yeah.
And that's what it's supposed to be. And so far, it's been working pretty well that way. And I think we've got a group that wants to go forward and look at our challenges and deal with them, as opposed to just push them down the street some more and forget about them. So we're taking on some stuff that really needed to be taken on. And
Long-term stuff.
Yeah, longer-term stuff. And that's to me, that's worth the effort and the time. And, I think collectively, I think the council's all kind of headed that direction, so... It's been good.
I like it when you're asking questions, you're asking the here and the now and the 5 and 10 year.
Down the road. What's the impact down the road?
And my philosophy has always been, watch what you're doing today to what it means 20 years down the road.
Yeah, and that's where I look at it, and it's easy to go out there and do something today, but what's it going to do to the people and the taxpayers 5 years, 10 years from now? And we don't want to get a quick fix that's going to bite us in the butt, 5 years from now. So I'm trying to keep that focus and say, nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to, and we got to keep focused on our cost and our long-term cost more so than our short-term probably. And because cash-wise, we're in pretty good shape. But we need to look at those long-term items, and we need to look at trying to put the pieces together in such a way that it works out in the long run. I think we as a state have done too much kicking the cans down the road,
we're not a kick the can type road down.
No, the city is we got a group that wants to make things go forward and make it better and get something that works for the people the people, I always kind of looked at it, local government is no news is good news. They what they want to hear is everything's fine and they're going to go about their life and they're going to go out fishing or doing something, and they don't want to worry about this, and they don't want a huge tax bill when the assessments of the tax bills came out the other day. So everybody's kind of sucking some wind on that, I think, with the assessed values going up. And I think, we need to keep focused on, this is not unlimited money. So.
Yeah, and, you have to throw into the equation, every 3 years you have a new collective bargaining agreement contract. And we have one tonight, our first reading, and what it means for the next 3 years and the price increases.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it says is over the next 3 years, from this one block of people, our expenses, our salaries go up $1 million.
Right.
So over 3 years, you're thinking to yourself, okay, are we going to have the revenue to come in to cover it, or do I have to shorten something else to cover that? And it's 3 years. And this happens, 1.25, 1.3 times a year because we've got 4 bargaining units.
Well, that's one of the things that surprised me. I didn't realize we had that many bargaining units. And the poor chief of staff, I feel like the poor guy, it's every time he turns around and gets one done, he's got to start the next one.
He enjoys
continual
it.
Negotiations.
He's so far so good. Yeah, he does it very well. He's very well liked and respected. I sit there with him, and we're going through the parameters, and then he meets with them, and it took the AFL-CIO a long time. And I remember, when I first became mayor, sitting in there with the AFL-CIO, just letting everyone know, he is the negotiator. Don't come to me to try and change anything. I'm not Mr. Nice Guy. If you come to me, it's not going to be very good.
Well, you know, I've always kind of had the theory you hire good people and you let them do their job.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's his job that's assigned to him, and we're plowing through those contracts and moving forward. But I think everybody can see it everywhere in town, you know, we're all over the country, that costs are going up and there are going to be increases in that. But
it's surprising, the competition for employees. Every day I hear a story about competition, not just in municipal, everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, you know, clearly, not just to get good experienced hands, but just get hands at all.
Yeah, and keep my business open.
Keep my business open. And I know businesses all over the country, all over the state are struggling with that. And local governments have the same problem. You know, so we've got to understand that and say, well, you might not like it, but you better learn how to deal with it, because that's the world we're in right now. So to some degree, we're competing for good employees.
Yeah.
With you know, other locations and other businesses and what have you. So, but generally speaking, I'm kind of been at this most of a year now, and it's. I've been pleasantly surprised with the people that we're working with, that they're, you know, they know their jobs, they're good at it, they're well respected, they're working hard. So
you ask them a direct question, they'll give you a direct answer.
You know, and that's what we need, you know, to make good decisions. So
yeah, it's we always got road construction, snow plowing, road repair, public works is busy, police is busy, fire is busy, ambulance is busy. Mm-hmm. Building department's busy, you know. Finance department clerk, they're busy.
They're all busy. Yep.
If you think that they're just there, you know, doing nothing,
there's not a lot of that going on in the city hall.
That's why I'm there every morning at 7 a.m. because I got to be busy. You know, I got stuff to do.
Stuff to do.
And so that's when I start. Yep. A lot of fun.
You seem like you're enjoying the job as mayor.
I am. I really am. You know, I get to work with a lot of very, very wonderful people. I'm a people person.
You are a people guy. That's true.
And, you know, and I like working with people. And, you know, be it the city council.
Or all the rest of your life. That's what you've done all your life.
Yeah, department heads. Yeah. The people who aren't department heads, you know, I go in, I know most of the people by name. And like there's one guy in the finance department, I always say, "You're looking too serious. Knock that off." I walk in.
Well, and that's why
he smiles. Oh, sorry, Mayor. You know.
Well, you know, we spend most of our major part of our life at work. You better be having fun at it, or you know, you're going to grow old way too soon. You know.
Yeah. So
if we can help make it enjoyable for the people that work for us, that's good too.
So I got this new executive assistant. And basically, she's a very astute person. I don't call her an assistant at all. You know,
call her boss.
I go, man, you're going to raise my standards here. So I asked her how she was this morning, because last Thursday and Friday she started getting sick, and she said, "Bad. I'm feeling really sick." And I go, "Boy, are we a combination? I'm in the middle of my allergy season. You're sick. Maybe we just got to put a sign on the door that says 'The Plague. Enter your own risk.' You know." So she's really understanding my sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a sense of humor about it. You know.
And then once in a while, I'll say a naughty word in regards to something. And I looked at her. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." She goes, "I'm Australian. You don't need to apologize about that." Oh, okay.
Gotta love those Aussies.
Yeah. Oh man. And she has a background. She's certified in rescue, both water rescue and air rescue.
Really?
And an EMT.
And she's working for you.
She's working for
what
me.
What does she think you're going to get into?
This is the thing about it, what I've learned, and is learned by talking with people. She applied for over 50 positions, and no one would give her the time of day, because she's a military spouse, and there's always that thing about them moving.
Right.
And, you know, so so I never interviewed her. I never saw her resume. It was the chief of staff, you know, and the head of HR. I didn't want an input on it, because that way I can say you were hired. And I told her this, you were hired because you were the number one candidate.
Right.
And she started telling me this. And I was thinking to myself, you know, greed is good, Dave. There are so many people lost out on such good quality here. My goodness.
Yeah. And I think normally we shouldn't be doing that. Where we are right now with this competition for employees, we can't afford to be doing that.
Not at all. And it, I was the benefactor of that. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have City Council Member John Ringstead, seat F, in the studio with me here, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Jean's Chrysler Jeep Dodge and Ram Summer of Adventure Giveaway with weekly prizes all summer long and a grand prize giveaway on August 18th. This week's prize list?
A $450 gift certificate for Body Piercing Unlimited, a one-month membership for Sundog CrossFit with three coaching classes, and a $100 gift certificate for 49th State Brewery.
Enter to win at Jean's, South Cushman at Van Horn Road, the Summer of Adventure Contest. No purchase necessary to enter to win. See dealership for contest rules. Jean's, the official dealership of life in Alaska.
Women's bladder issues can be so embarrassing and stressful. Many patients have a hard time controlling their bladder and have leakage either because they can't make it to the bathroom on time or simply because they cough, sneeze, or exercise. My name is Dr. Mia Duncan. I am a urologic surgeon with 15 years experience specializing in incontinence as well as women's pelvic and sexual health. I help my patients feel more empowered about their health and their sexuality and live the high quality life they deserve.
Find them at FairbanksUrology.com.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 71. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 55. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance for isolated showers. Highs around 74. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have City Council Member John Ringstead in the studio here. Now, John, another thing that we've really gone after, and we started with it in the budget last year, and it's coming in this year, is we went from $50,000 to $200,000 to abate properties, but we're also going after cleaning up the encampments that litter, that invade people's neighborhoods, subdivisions, alleys, stuff like that. We've really been aggressive on that.
And that's a good thing, you know. I'm hearing more people in different places that are now seeing folks come in and they find a place. Pretty soon they're kind of living there. People are coming and going. You know, you and I sit on the Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services Board, and we got a property that the gentleman that owned it had died, and the bank foreclosed on it, and people had been living in there, and it was about the filthiest thing I've ever seen, and I've seen some bad ones.
Let's give a description. 30-yard dumpster. How many times was it filled?
Four or five? I don't.
Yeah.
Several. I mean, the yard was full. The house was full. There was a couple of dogs and a litter of puppies living in the house. It was a disaster. You know, the neighbors all hated it. Nobody wants that in their neighborhood. You know, we've got actually a couple of members on our council that have a house that's kind of half boarded up, and they say nobody's living there, but their people are coming and going all hours of the day or night. Yeah. You know, and the neighbors all know it. You know,
and there's no water sewer hooked up or power.
Yeah. So you know, another one of these issues that needs some focus, and we need to go in there and say, no, this is not what we want in our neighborhoods. We don't want our kids. We don't want the grandparents. We don't want anybody living having to put up with that. And it takes attention. It takes energy and time. But I think if we work at it for a few years, we're going to have a much cleaner, nicer, friendly place to live, and that's what we want. So I think there is no silver bullet on these things. You're going to have to take them one at a time and work through them. So some of the buildings, like the one we had at Neighborhood Housing Services, we got it done, cleaned, fixed, kind of renovated.
The neighbors loved us.
Yeah.
We were heroes.
We were heroes in the neighborhood. And you know, now you've got a productive piece of property and you got a family living in there and it's a nice home.
And now
some of them are going to have to just come down and go away, but some of them can be renovated.
And on our city side, you know, these are in public right-of-way areas or uninhabited property areas that are causing issues for the neighborhood that we are starting to go in and get after.
And some of that, you look at it, and well, the city's got some responsibility if it's in public property. Now, and I don't know any details on it. I heard there was just a court ruling. I think it was an appeal of a case in Anchorage about what the city can and cannot do about that. But you know, we gotta get involved in that discussion and say, okay, what legally, where are we at, and what. And how do we go about cleaning this up?
Yeah, we have an abatement scheduled on 11th Avenue that just somehow caught fire for the third time this weekend.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, just those things that happen.
Well, and one of the things that I think we don't think about, you know, like we were talking, our police and our fire and our ambulances, you know, they're busy. They're just going all the time compared to what they used to be doing. Well, yeah, when you got things like, okay, this old house facility that got people living there that don't belong there, and
that's been vacated by the owner wherever they may be,
and they're long gone
for the last 6 years.
Yep.
And you know, it's a very deteriorated property, and they might, you know, they might be, who knows what the ownership record is now.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things we need to, you know, again, you just keep kind of one at a time, go out and get it done, and start cleaning up.
Then what I have to figure out to present to you is, you know, the philosophical, okay, we abate a property, we put a lien on it, the lien is not paid, we go and we get ownership of the property, and other people just want to give us ownership. So I say to myself, okay, do we clean it and put this out at the highest, you know, fair market value? Do we go to the adjoining property owner and say, okay, we're going to sell it to you at a discount because your property looks good, looks like you're going to, you know, do something with it? Or do we give it to someone who says, with a program saying, you will build something on here within 2 or 3 years, and we'll sell it to you at half the price? You know, what do you do?
That's part of the discussion. I guess, you know, I would, my preference would be to find somebody else. I don't think it's the city's niche, and clearly not our specialty, be going out and being a real estate person and trying to get into that business.
We're not building.
We're not going to build. You know, but there are other avenues. Like you say, sometimes the neighbors would be happy to take it on and just clean up their neighborhood. You know, and they can figure out what to do with the property when they're done.
You know, 2 weeks ago, I got to bring in the head of the building department, head of the engineering. Got a property downtown Fairbanks that the heirs want to give it to the city of Fairbanks, and it has to be raised. But before I'm taking it, I'm bringing in the building department. Is there any contaminations in here? Is there anything that is going to be an oh my goodness?
Well, and that's the problem. As you look into these private investors that might want to buy and develop that property, they don't want to take on the liability.
Yeah,
you know, we've all seen that, whether it's asbestos in the property or whether it's bad soil that's been contaminated, whatever it is, and that's a role that we can play in and say, okay, we can identify, here's the property, here's the problems, here's what has to be done, and then hopefully kind of lob some of that off and say, okay, how do we help somebody else do this? But I think that, you know, there are a lot of these that have kind of been slowly going since you and I used to ride our bikes by.
Or in kindergarten.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
That was about 8 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's in this millennia anyway.
Yeah. Within the last 100 years.
Yeah. Just one of those things.
But I think you know, like you say, everybody's busy. There's a plate full of stuff that the city needs to do. It's going to take focus and energy and some time to do them. You can't fix those abatements. No. You can't, these people where they're places where people are just camping out. We're not going to solve that in the next 3 weeks.
But you know, first of all, you know, to me, it's someone's property. Give them a chance and a choice to cure it.
Right.
Give them some time. You know, now it's, you know, before it's never been on their radar. They've never heard from a city entity.
And as I recall, there was a couple of them on that list that the owners don't even live in the state and haven't been here in a decade.
Yeah.
And they didn't know it was in bad shape.
Yeah. And there's a couple of people on the list, okay, I'm on it now. I'm doing it.
Right.
So the communication with them
is a big part.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that's right. You know,
a lot of times that fixes itself.
Yeah. So not all the time, but a lot of time it will, and we just need to push it along.
The gentle shove.
Gentle push.
Gentle shove. There you go. So what else is on your mind?
Oh, boy, trying to get a lot of summer in, you know. It's already middle of July, and it seems like summer didn't show up on time this year.
You know,
and it's like halfway through.
I'm going to bring up your children.
Uh-oh.
Two things. One, they're living proof children are forever, because every time I call you, I'm doing this for my son.
Yep.
Number two, your kids are incredible. I made my son do this for me. We had to do this, this, and this, and we were there at 5 o'clock and doing it. And
well, you know, it's
you got
interesting.
Good kids.
So, well, thanks. You know, you and I were both blessed growing up in good family and good parents, and you know, over time your perspective changes. You know, I'm not being the kid anymore. Now I'm the dad and the grandfather.
Yeah.
You know,
I wanted to be the kid.
yeah, I want to be the kid some more. You know, life was easy. I thought it was hard then. You know,
yeah.
But you know, I truly do enjoy my kids and my grandkids, and I got a ton of nephews and nieces in town, and a couple more coming to town this week for a while, and so we're going to be spending some time doing that and doing family stuff. But I do enjoy that, you know. But you know, I kind of have been looking at, and when our prior mayor called and asked me about taking this appointment for a year in the seat, I thought, you know, what can I do that's important for my kids and my grandkids and their generation? How do I help them? You know. And I think giving them a community that people want to live in, mm-hmm. giving them a community that they can afford to live in, and they have jobs and opportunities to have a good life here. And you know, hopefully, you know, we saw that. You know, what we didn't realize at the time, but there wasn't a whole lot here when we were kids, and the parents didn't have a whole lot. But we were happy, and we had a good, healthy.
We came in at dinner time or dark.
Yeah, and you know, and if we can provide some of that and start dealing with some of these issues in the city that need to be doing it, then that's a good thing that I can do for our kids and our grandkids.
There you go. How many grandkids you got?
I now have five, all here in town.
Wow.
I'm lucky. Too many of my friends our age, their grandkids are scattered all over the country, and mine are here, so I'm happy about that.
Good for you. You know, it's interesting with your son that's in town, buying a house, remodeling a house, doing this, and just every time I talk to you, we're doing something over at his house.
Yeah.
Well, I call you up, I'm making him do something over here for me.
Yeah, well, everybody helps each other and it works, you know. But, you know, all three of my kids are doing great and they're happy and they're healthy and they're gainfully employed and, you know, and now we're raising the next batch and that's a good thing. So,
since you've been on the city council, what's the one thing that may have surprised you? Not in a good or bad way, but this may have surprised you.
Couple of things. I was surprised by the staffing problems that we've had, particularly in public safety, you know, police, fire, and dispatch. I wasn't really surprised by the people working for the city, you know, because I always have kind of been in the impression that most of it's pretty good anyway. It wasn't broke. I didn't need to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of things that how we do business is a little different than what I'm used to. You know, one of the funny things that kind of really surprised me, in the state we have this open meetings law. And the open meetings law says I cannot talk to more than two other members of the council on any given issue, except in a public notice meeting, which makes it very difficult for us to go forward in an efficient way when I have no idea what four of the members, I don't know what they're thinking. We haven't had time to work through the issues, and it makes it clumsy. It's there as an attempt to make honest government, but I think if you don't think they're honest, you ought to don't vote for him. Get him out of there. You know? So it's another one of those laws that was well-intended. I'm not sure it's working well. I've not had to work under it before, so that was kind of a more of an eye-opener than I expected.
There you go. Well, John, I really appreciate your time that you were able to spend on the show here with us. And good luck with your construction projects with you and your kids.
Yep.
And Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you.